Rhetoric in Washington, D.C. and Tel Aviv over possible war with Iran has heated up to such an extent over past weeks that even U.S. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta has said he expects Israel to attack Iran within the next few months. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's every move is being interpreted in the American and Israeli media as provoking war. On Wednesday, his witnessing of the lowering of fuel rods into the core of a nuclear reactor contributed to the war hysteria. Also helping to ramp up speculation has been Ahmadinejad's threat to shut down the Straits of Hormuz, through which a significant portion of Iranian oil is transported. An international inquiry into several bomb blasts in Thailand, India, and Georgia, apparently targeting Israeli diplomats, has been linked to Iran, as well as to the Lebanese group Hezbollah. Investigators are seeking several suspects in the various countries. Meanwhile, an ongoing epidemic of murders of Iranian nuclear scientists has also added to the tensions, with the Iranian government accusing Western powers and Israel of orchestrating the murders. In fact, last week, senior U.S. officials speaking to NBC News on condition of anonymity confirmed that a dissident Iranian group trained and funded by Israel has been carrying out the murders of Iranian nuclear scientists. Here in the United States, President Obama has added Iran's Ministry of Intelligence and Security to the U.S. Treasury's list of designated global terrorists, saying that it, quote, supports global terrorism, commits human rights abuses against Iranians, and participates in ongoing repression in Syria. And a group of 32 senators from both major parties have backed legislation this week saying they would support President Obama in his attempt to stop Iran's nuclear program, even if it meant going to war. Senator Lieberman, who introduced the bill, said it sends a message, quote, clearly and resolutely to Iran, you have only two choices, peacefully negotiate your end to the nuclear weapons program or expect a military strike to disable that program. While Obama has said he does not prefer a military strike, he has said all options are on the table. My guest is Mohammad Sahimi, a professor at the University of Southern California, a lead political columnist for the website PBS Frontline Tehran Bureau. Welcome to Uprising, Mohammad.
Good morning, Solani, and I'm happy to be back in your program.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, we have seen much saber-rattling against Iran since President Bush's tenure as well. Is this any different, given what Leon Panetta has said? He said that we could see a strike by Israel against Iran in April, May, or June. Is this reaching new heights that you haven't seen before?
Well, it is reaching a new height. And let me point out that President Obama and his administration have done more against Iran than George W. Bush ever did. The tightest sanctions against Iran have been imposed during the Obama administration, and the president has been able to put together a coalition of several nations to put pressure on Iran. And at the same time, of course, Iran has been making progress in its nuclear program. And a third factor has been the fact that Israel and its allies in the United States have been provoking, and pushing the administration to start a war on Iran. So all of these together have created a sort of war hysteria in the United States. At the beginning of your program, you pointed out several things. Let me add a couple of points to it. One is regarding the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. 20% of the oil that is consumed in the world passes through the Strait of Hormuz every day, and which also includes Iranian oil, as you pointed out. Although Iranians have threatened that they would close the Strait of Hormuz, I don't believe that they will actually do it unless they will be attacked. In fact, when the threat was made, just a few days after that, Iran's defense minister backtracked and said that the security of the Strait of Hormuz is very important to us, and we are the primary nation responsible for the security of the Strait. So we have to look at what comes out of Tehran in the context of all the threats that are being made against Tehran in the United States and Israel. And I must say that Israel is playing a big role here. Most people, including myself, don't believe that the Obama administration is interested in attacking Iran. But the unknown factor that a lot of people are afraid of is Israel. A lot of people, including myself, are afraid that Israel may attack Iran, and Iran will counterattack, of course, it will respond, and then that would drag the United States into a war that the administration doesn't want at this point. So that's the primary fear that a lot of people have at this point.
Let's talk about the murders of Iranian nuclear scientists that have rattled society in Iran as well as the government. This NBC special that I'd mentioned, which is shocking that it didn't receive more attention, was on February 9th. And it was a report that showed that two U.S. officials, speaking anonymously to NBC, said that the Obama administration is aware of the assassinations of these nuclear scientists and that the People's Mujahideen of Iran, which is a dissident group, a militant organization in Iran, it's been designated as a terrorist group by the U.S., is linked to these killings and is being trained and funded by Israel. I mean, it's amazing that this didn't get much more attention.
Actually, Iranians themselves knew very much that if there is one organization with the necessary elements within Iran that can carry out such assassinations is the Mujahideen Khalq organization, or MEK as is known in the United States. MEK was an opposition group that left Iran in 1981 and joined Saddam Hussein and his regime during the Iran-Iraq war and collaborated with the regime of Saddam Hussein. And, of course, we know that killing of Iranian nuclear scientists is in the interest of Israel, because Israel has wanted to slow down, if not completely destroy, Iran's nuclear program. But as you pointed out, over the past few weeks, several articles in the United States have come out that clearly establish the connection between these assassinations and Mujahideen and the Israeli government. Ronen Bergman published a long article in the Sunday magazine of the New York Times, in which he clearly stated that Israel developed a five-point plan back in 2003 to either destroy or slow down Iran's nuclear program, and one element of which was Israel helping terrorist groups such as MEK and also the Sunni Jundallah group that operates from Pakistan and attacks Iran province of Sistan and Balochistan in southeast Iran on the border with Pakistan. And then Mark Perry also reported in Foreign Policy that Mossad agents presented themselves as CIA agents in order to recruit Jundallah terrorists to carry out terrorist operations within Iran. These are just one aspect of the covert war that Israel, with the help of the United States, has been carrying out on Iran's nuclear program. Another aspect of it was, of course, the Stuxnet computer virus that was developed by Israel with technical support from the United States, and that penetrated the computer system of Iran's nuclear facilities and infected the computer system to the point that it forced the Iranian government to shut down the uranium enrichment facility at Natanz for a few days, and reportedly it disabled a large number of centrifuges. So when you put the help and training and funding of these terrorist groups that operate within Iran together with assassination of Iranian nuclear scientists and other aspects such as the Stuxnet virus, we see a pattern of a long covert war waged by Israel and the United States against Iran. So it is totally plausible that at some point public pressure within Iran to be so high that the government may be forced to take some retaliatory action, which of course will be dangerous, because every action by the Iranian government or every counteraction by the Iranian government will also be met by another type of attack or counterattack by Israel, which can get out of control at some point and become a full-fledged war, which will spread throughout the Middle East, which will be a very, very dangerous situation. Mm.
My guest is Mohammad Sahimi, professor at the University of Southern California, lead political columnist for the website PBS Frontline Tehran Bureau. We're talking about the current situation regarding Iran, Israel, and the United States. What about these blasts in various countries, Thailand, India, and Georgia, apparently targeting Israeli diplomats? They have been linked to Iran as well as the Lebanese group Hezbollah. But interestingly, Iran has countered, saying that the the same elements that were used to target the Iranian nuclear scientists were part of the bomb blasts, which may suggest that this Israeli-funded group, MEK, may be behind this, or is that pure speculation?
Well, at this point, anything that we may say would be pure speculation. But let me point out one important fact that seems to have been lost on the mainstream media in this country, and that is that there is a qualitative difference between what happened in Bangkok, Thailand, and what transpired in India and Georgia, in the sense that the operation in Thailand that was apparently aborted when a hand grenade exploded prematurely and injured the Iranian culprit was very sort of amateurish type of operation using crude explosives and so on, whereas according to Indian police in New Delhi, the operation in India was very, very sophisticated, very carefully planned. And the same thing in Tbilisi, the capital of Georgia, where the police discovered a magnetic bomb that had been installed on a car of the Israeli diplomat that was supposed to explode. So at this point, we don't really know whether the Iranian government was behind this or at least part of this, because the Iranian government in the past has carried out terrorist operations outside Iranian border, but those operations were mainly targeted at Iranian dissidents that live in Western Europe. In this case, it is plausible that Iranian government had a hand in it, because as I said, Israel has been waging a long covert war against Iran, and therefore it is plausible that Iranian government wanted to counterattack. But if Iran is proven to be the culprit behind these attacks, we have to see it in the context of the covert war that Israel and to some extent the United States have been waging on Iran. Obviously, when two nations target another nation and constantly attack it through covert operations and some not-so-covert operations, at some point, the attacked government and the attacked nation may try to take some retaliatory actions. So if we are going to condemn the terrorist attacks on Israeli diplomats in India and the plot to attack them in Thailand and Georgia, which we must condemn because any sort of terrorism must be condemned, we must also condemn the terrorist attacks that are being carried out within Iranian border by groups that are supported, trained, and funded by Israel and in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It is widely believed that, for example, Mujahideen Khalq at the MEK has been supported by the CIA.
Even though they're on the terrorist list of the United States itself.
Exactly, though they are on the terrorist list. But we know that the camp was protected in Iraq when the United States invaded Iraq in 2003.
Right. Well,
and therefore, they have been supported by it.
We just have about a minute left. Mohammad Sahimi, I would like for you to comment on the saber rattling in Congress with the 32 senators who just backed legislation this week saying that they would essentially support President Obama if he chose to launch a military strike against Iran to stop their nuclear program. I know that this is a kind of legislation that has been seen in the past before, but is this significant?
Well, it is significant in the sense that a large number of senators have co-sponsored it. But let me also point out that what they are talking about is a non-existent Iran nuclear weapon program.
Right.
The International Atomic Energy Agency has not said that Iran has a nuclear weapon program, but it has said that Iran has carried out some research that might have military dimensions. And James Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence, and Leon Panetta, Defense Secretary, and David Petraeus, the Director of CIA, all three of them have said that Iran is not producing nuclear weapon, and they haven't made the political decision to go ahead and try to make nuclear weapons. So at this point, the nuclear weapon program the Senate resolution is talking about is non-existent. So this is basically warmongering by 32 senators led by the very well-known warmonger, who is retiring, and thankfully, Senator Joseph Lieberman, that wants to provoke some attack on Iran, which I should point out that if, God forbid, that happens, it will spread throughout the Middle East, and compared to which what happened in Iraq will be child play. So we have to be very, very careful about what we say and what we do in the coming months.
Well, Mohammad Sahimi, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Mohammad Sahimi is a professor at USC. He's a lead political columnist for the website PBS Frontline Tehran Bureau. We've been talking about Iran, Israel, the United States.